Welcome to another message from the Gospel of Luke. We're studying Luke from the Greek text. And as we go here, I just tell you a little bit of thing about the text. Just a little thing here and there. Last time we studied about the scriptures and the Gospels and the synopsis of the Gospels. Why did they put Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and the other all together 27 books in the New Testament? Let's look at that before we go. First of all, they had to be apostolic. In other words, they had to be either written by one of the apostles or by a contemporary or associate of the apostles. That's number one choice. This is how they chose the scriptures, which I think they did a pretty good job of it. Number two, was it orthodox? In other words, did this book, was it in the first century? Was it by one of the apostles? Was it by one of the associates of the apostles? And also, was it according to the teaching of the other books that we know that are in the New Testament? Was it orthodox? Was it straight? Was the teaching sound? Number three. We call what we call Catholicity. Was it universally accepted by all of those in that first century period of time? Was it universally accepted? Were there no embellishments about something there? All later manuscripts, even if they were orthodox, were rejected because they weren't written by the writers that they were supposed to be written by or known by to be written by those that said it was supposed to be written by. Now these are some of the ways that they verified the canon of scripture that we have today. There are 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Corinthians. They left 3rd and 4th Corinthians out because they thought, well, maybe it was written, one man wrote 3rd Corinthians. He said, well, I thought so much of Paul that I would just absolutely defend and to compliment what he had already written. Well, we know that's bogus. There wasn't one thing unsound in his writings at all. But that book was that out. Then we have the book of Laodicea, which is referred to in the scriptures. I have taken that book and we have studied that book in my classes, the book of Laodicea. 3 Corinthians and 4 Corinthians are nothing unsound about them, but they were not written by Paul. Let's go on further now. In 21 and verse 25, the coming of the Son of Man, we're going to talk about eschatology and we're talking about end time prophecy. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. And it will cross-reference to other books in the Old Testament. Kai esonte semia en helio, kai selimai selene, kai astrios, kai epites geis, sinoke, ethnon en aporia, ekus, Talase kai salu. And there shall be signs, semions, miracles. The word sign there means miracles. In the sun, around the sun, in other words, up toward the area of the sun, or the sun will do some wild things. And the moon. The moon, the Selena. The moon shall look different because of the pollution on the earth in Revelation. When you have pollution, the moon is red. When you have catastrophic things happening on the earth, the sky is affected. The view of the sky is affected. And the astrois, and the stars. In the stars, among the stars up there, maybe there will be, well, there's going to be one comet that will hit the earth. We know that. Called Wormwood. That one's going to hit the earth. There will be a sign from heaven in that. And upon epitasgeis, and upon the earth. And then we have the word here, synoke. That means anxiety, distress, trouble, fear, despair. Despair of nations in perplexity. And the sound of the sea. The sea shall roar. Just can you imagine now? When that comet called Wormwood hits the earth, that direction from where I am right here, there was a meteorite hit Arizona, and it affected things all over the world. A meteorite hit Russia and wiped out a whole forest. A meteorite hit Russia and shook and made earthquakes, just rippled out from there. Now what happens when the land moves? Let me tell you about the earth just a little bit. The earth, when God made it, was Pangaea, or Gondwana. Earth was all on one side and there was water on the other side. But in the days of Pele, God divided the earth and mountains became tremendous mountains and rifts. Now the earth is a molten body of atomic fusion in the center of it. It's going on all the time. It's molten. The earth crust that we live on is between 50 and 100 miles or so deep. Some places even shallower. But the earth is like a crust on an egg, and all the inside of it, like the yolk of the egg, that's the atomic fusion, or the atomic fusion that were taking place in the middle of the earth. The atomic activity. And it's hot. And it's molten. And the earth breathes. Breathes. Like you and I breathe. It breathes. Mountains go up and down every day. The earth is breathing. But when a meteorite or something hits the earth with such force that it can crack the tectonic plates, the oceans go wild. The ripple wave effect of that is tremendous, and that's what's going to go on here. And the perplexity of the sound of the sea and the waves roaring. Verse 26. Apo-si-kon-ton. Anthropon apo-fubu kai prosdokios. Ton eperko menon te oiko mene he gar dinamis ton uranon sa lu theisonte. Apo si kon ton. That's genitive plural, masculine, present participle, active. And it comes from apo and siko. And that means souls leaving. A man is made up of body, as we see, soul, which is your thinking mode, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. Now people, from the fear, are going to die in their tracks. They're going to drop dead. Boom. Gone. Bye-bye. Their souls are going to leave mankind. From the fear, the phobu, we got the word phobia right out of this Greek word, and expectations. Prosdokios, they're afraid of what's going to happen. I was in a very large earthquake one time. I've been in a lot of large earthquakes, but this one's gigantic. It's the earthquake that happened in Tehachapi, California, and split the earth for thousands of feet down to the tectonic plates like we're talking about. There's that Andreas Fault over there, San Andreas Fault, near where we live down in California. I was very young in 1952 when the 52 earthquake hit. It was between 7 and 9 on the Richter scale. I saw houses jump up and down. Can you imagine seeing a house jump up and down? Can you imagine seeing telephone poles go like this and waving sparks flying all over the place? Can you imagine being next to a canal or a river and it throws all the water out on the land and the fish are flopping around out there and the crawdads are crawling around all the place? I saw that. I saw it. I was riding on a little bicycle and it threw me over. Boom, on the ground. The road was just going like this in waves. The ground was moving like in waves. Now, when you're amongst all of this, my grandfather slept outside. He wouldn't go in the house. Now, our shack was a meager little shack, 12 by 16 feet or so, maybe not even that big. That little old shack had a dirt floor. Wasn't no concrete to crack. We had three walls with a front wall that had a hole in it that a tarp flap was over because we couldn't find a big enough piece of wood to make a door. Had one little window in it. We had fish and crawdads crawling on our floor, the dirt floor in the little shack. Shook everything all around. But the shack was so constructed, all it did was bounce it up and down on the ground. It wasn't any foundation to tear up, anything like that. Buildings were shook down. People were afraid. They were afraid to go sleep in their houses. They slept in their yards. They slept in their yards. For fear and expectation, what might happen next? Pros dokios, what kind of judgment is coming next? Of the things coming upon for themselves, the inhabited earth, and for powers of the heavens, and the powers of the heavens, they shall be shaken. God shall take back Satan's authority and the powers upon the earth and in the heavens. And there is going to be a tremendous physical calamity on the earth. And there's going to be a tremendous spiritual and physical calamity in heaven. Now, according to Zechariah 12 and 10, and Jeremiah 3, 17 and 26, 18, Isaiah 2 and 6, and Psalm 67 and verse 6, God is going to grab a hold of Satan and rip him out the authority from him, and he's going to cast him, according to Revelation 27, Revelation chapter 27 through 9, into the bottomless pit, the abyss. The abyss. For 1,000 years. Kilea eter, millennium. Millianum. Verse number 27. Kai tote opsonte ton huion tu anthropu ercomenon en nephile meta dynames that dynamios kai doxas poles. Daniel 7 and 13, Revelation 1 and 7 are synoptic scriptures with this. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the Nephile, in the cloud, with power, with great powers, dynamite powers, dynameus, dynamite powers and glory much. Power and glory much. 21 verse 28, Archomenon, de, tuton, geneste, Anakipsate kai eparate tas kafales hemon diote ingize he apolitriosis hemon. And moreover, furthermore, that little weak adversative conjunctive particle there, de, you can look up on page 85 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. It says, furthermore, on top of this, and then leading on down the road, beginning these things to become, ye shall stand up erect. Stand up. I've had a doctor working on me lately that's taken my crooked neck and my crooked back and trying to straighten it out just a little bit. She's a, what they call an osteopath doctor. I can stand up taller. I think I probably can stand up taller, probably 2 inches or maybe 3 inches taller than I was before. My body had just settled into crookedness, scoliosis. Stand up erect, and ye shall lift up the heads, the kephales, the heads of you all, because it draws near the redemption of you. Now, who is he talking to here? Who's on the earth at this time? We got some saved people who are going to be saved here during this period of time. Everybody that's saved is going to be raptured over here in the beginning of the tribulation period. But there are people going to be saved during that period of time. There's going to be 5 out of 6 people in the world who are going to be killed probably by Islam. They're real good at that. They're going to be beheaded according to the book of Revelation, just like they do. Israel, 2 out of every 3 of the Jews are going to die. Now, those saved people that are saved during the tribulation, it says here in the book of Revelation, this is a real important book, Daniel and Revelation. If you're going to go through the tribulation period, you're not going to be saved yet. You better take these books with you if you live that long, you last that long. Because 5 out of every 6 Gentiles and 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to die. Well, during this period of time, the Lord says to these people there, who's speaking? Jesus. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to the remnant of the Jews and to the saved people that are saved during that time that are risking their lives for belief. Because it draws near the redemption of you. The redemption of you. Now let's go back and read this in the Amplified Bible. I'm going to go back up and read a few verses that we did. We're going to go all the way from verse 20 on. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then you know and understand that the desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city get out of it, and let not those who are in the country come into it. For those are the days of vengeance, that is, of rendering full justice and satisfaction, and all the things that are written to be fulfilled in the prophets. That's what he's talking about. Alas, for those who are pregnant, and for those, now that's ooh-ah there, that's that onomatopoeic interjection, ooh-ah, for those who are pregnant, calamity, destruction, for those who are pregnant and for those who have babies which they are nursing in those days, for great misery and anguish and distress shall come upon the land, and indignation and punishment and retribution upon the people. They will fall by the mouth of the edge of the sword, and they will be led away as captives to and among all the nations. Jerusalem will be trodden down by Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled and completed. Isaiah 63:18 and Daniel 8:13. Now, where we started today, or this moment, in this class, and there will be signs in the sun and the moon and stars, and upon the earth distress and trouble and anguish of nations in bewilderment, perplexity, that is, without resources and left wanting, embarrassed and endowed and not knowing which way to turn at the echo and the roaring of the tossing of the sea. Isaiah 13:10, Joel 2:10, and Zephaniah 1:15. Men swooning away and expiring, dying with fear and dread and apprehension and expectation of the things that are coming upon the world, for the very powers of the heavens shall be shaken and caused to totter and wobble. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the cloud. One specific cloud. It's not a cloud, it's the cloud. With great transcendent and overwhelming power, and all his kingly glory and majesty and splendor, according to Daniel 7:13 and 14. Everything that's said in the New Testament is backed up by the Old Testament, by the way. And that's one of the witnesses. What is the scripture? When they finally decided what books in the New Testament were valid, they had to meet all the criteria. They had to be written by an apostle or an associate of an apostle. They had to be orthodox. And it had to have universal acceptance among all of those people in the first century and all the churches. His kingly glory and majesty and splendor. Now when these began to occur, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption and deliverance is drawing near. Will you go to this period of time in history? It all depends upon what you're doing right now. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord? Have you called upon Him to save your soul, repenting of your sins, and asking Him to save you and forgive you? If you've done that, you won't go through this. If you haven't done it, maybe you will. If you're not killed in the meanwhile, or die beforehand. Father, we send these messages out to your people and to those that might not know you. Father, I pray that you convict their hearts of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That you give them the faith and repentance to believe and repent. Father, forgive me where I failed you. And help us to glorify you with these messages, wherever they go in the world. Because Jesus is our Savior. He is our God, our glory, our Savior, our redemption, our atonement. And by your Spirit you lead us, comfort us, and trouble us. In Jesus' name we pray. For your honor, for your glory, and for your sake. Amen.